and talk about its contents. And so I'm excited to again be with you this week. I appreciate the good feedback, the encouraging words on the sermon this morning. I am thankful to hear from many of you that you're enjoying that sermon and that series, and I am too. I've learned from putting it together, and I hope that it's been easy to follow. I know we've covered a lot of ground in the amount of time that we have together on Sunday mornings, and so I appreciate your good feedback and your encouraging words regarding that sermon. I know several of you asked for a copy of the slides that were used, and I have those tonight. And so if I did not already give those to you, then be sure to get with me before we leave, and I'll give those PowerPoint slides to you. I want us to think about 5 points tonight, 5 encouraging actions that Paul talks about that the Lord either had or will have the time that he wrote the book toward him. I appreciate the good reading that Ray did from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. All 5 points will be taken from the last chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, as it would not be long before Paul was going to die. He made mention of that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there's so many things that we could learn from this final chapter in this book. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul issues a charge to young Timothy. And he says in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. So he gives him a charge and tells him to preach the word in verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the reason for that, he goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Every gospel preacher needs to take heed to that passage. Preach the word, endure afflictions, make full proof of thy ministry. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 6 beginning, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. That's encouraging to all of us. Now, Paul would say that the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And as a result of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But then he goes on to tell Timothy, do thy diligence, verse 9, to come shortly unto me. It's sad, the next statement that he makes, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Paul knew something about what it was like to be forsaken by men. And he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark unto thee, for he, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. We talked about parchments this morning. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. These are sad statements that Paul makes. One, that Demas had forsaken him and departed unto Thessalonica. And he mentions two other individuals in that same verse when he talked about Demas. And now he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now watch him. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he greatly withstood our words. Now isn't that sad? Here was the Apostle Paul, who had, in his time, former life, had persecuted the saints of God, but now he was preaching the gospel of Christ, and Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil and greatly withstood their words. Now watch verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Now just in passing, this isn't one of our points tonight, but I think about these words that the Apostle Paul wrote. And it hearkens our mind back to the words, some of the words that our Lord spoke, though in anguish and agony as He was on the cross, when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we think about in Acts chapter 7 with Stephen, though they were stoning him, he looked up and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. In Acts 7, verses 59 and 60. And here Paul is writing, though all men forsook him, he says, I pray God that it might not be led to their charge. That was something that was characteristic of our Lord. And the first century Christians, that even in death, anguish, and dying, they had the best interest of even their enemies at heart. Isn't that something? But then he goes on to say, after stating the fact that all men had forsook him, then he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preacher might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? I want us to talk about, first of all, that Paul says that the Lord stood with me. I recently mentioned to you, and it bears repeating as we're talking about this text tonight, that we need to take comfort in and encouragement in the fact that God will never leave us or forsake us. And Paul knew something about that. I think about what he stated as he was on a voyage to Rome, as recorded in Acts chapter 27. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 27. Here it was that he was on the ship and they were making their voyage. And notice what the Bible says, beginning with verse 22. He says, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Well, Paul, how are you so assured about that? Assured about what you're telling these men? Here it is, the tempestuous sea was against them, the wind was against them, and he's saying, take comfort, be of good cheer. No man is going to lose their life. The ship is going to be lost, but no man is going to lose their life. Watch verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Makes a good sermon, I believe God. I've preached it here before. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Don't be afraid, Paul. You're going to survive, and not only you, but all those that are in the ship with you are going to survive. You know, it took faith on Paul's part to be able to say, as he did, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I think about what is stated in Acts the 18th chapter when Paul went to the city of Corinth. We have the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and you have divine commentary, the inspired account when Paul was in Corinth. It's recorded in Acts the 18th chapter. The Bible says, begin with verse 8, but Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed with all his house, and many other Corinthians here and believed were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Would to God that every gospel preacher would not hold their peace, but speak. Sometimes gospel preachers find themselves by their own choosing to be spiritually tongue-tied. Well, can't be that way. Speak. Don't hold your peace, but speak. Why, Lord? For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And the next verse says that Paul abode with them for the space of 1 year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. Don't be afraid, Paul. God never forsook him. He could be rest assured, though all men forsook him, Paul said, God did not. You know, the Lord knew something about men forsaking him. I think about in the garden, the night that he was betrayed, the Bible says when they came, that the events that took place, they came to arrest him, and guess what happened? Men forsook him. They fled. And I think about the occasion in John chapter 6 when the Bible says that he did some teaching and many were offended at his words. And from that time, the Bible says many went back and walked no more with him. John 6:63, and he said, will you also go away? Remember that question? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But yet many of the disciples, how sad it was, turned and walked no more with him. Paul had the Lord's assurance that he would not be left alone. And we have that assurance as well, because it's stated in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation, the King James Version says, some other versions render that, let your conduct or your life, let your conversation be without covetousness, for and be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. The next verse, verse 6, goes on to say that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Don't be afraid. Now think about the words of the psalmist in Psalm 3, verse 6, it's recorded. I will not be afraid though thousands of men, 10,000s of men have set themselves against me round about. The Lord Himself said, don't fear men that can destroy the body, but then that's all they can do, but rather fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell fire. Matthew 10, verse 28. Don't be afraid. The Lord stood with Paul, and He'll stand with you. He'll stand with me if we'll be faithful unto Him. But then the text goes on to say in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And I'm thankful for that, because Paul makes a connection between the fact that the Lord strengthened him and the gospel preaching. He says, He strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, wherefore, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to be strong. We need to boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. How strong are you? You have to analyze that for yourself, and so do I, as to how strong I am. And then the statement that is etched on so many different things today, plaques and whatnots, and you just name it, bookmarks, I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me, Philippians chapter 4. And then verse 12. I believe that. And we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And so Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and He strengthened me. And I was delivered from the mouth of the lion. Then he goes on to say, it's interesting that he says, I was delivered from the mouth of the lion. That means he was delivered from those things that came upon him. And then he says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Not only did Paul realize that God had delivered him, but Paul says He will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. Notice, if you will, I'm going to take a little side trip, if you will, for just a moment to the book of Acts, chapters 13 and 14. In Acts chapter 13, Paul, as they went out, he and Barnabas, to these different cities and proclaimed the gospel of Christ. They came to Antioch. They were at Antioch when they went or were sent forth, Acts chapter 13. And then verse 1. Notice, if you will, as Paul was preaching to them and so forth, verse 38, be it known therefore unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Where therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. Now watch verse 45. But when the Jews saw that the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. That means to speak evil of. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it far from you, and judge yourselves worthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coats. Now, have you been treated that way before? Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Many of them did not like it. And Paul said, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Well, we turned the Gentiles. The Gentiles glorified. They were glad about that. And they wanted to hear the word of God. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and persecuted Paul and Barnabas, expelled them out of their coasts. Now that's what took place at Antioch. Now watch verse 51. They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Antioch. And sometimes you're going to have to do some dust shaking off your feet. And I will too. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So here it was. They left Antioch and they came to Iconium. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. They were continuing to teach and to preach the word of God. The Bible says, verse 3, long time therefore they abode, speaking boldly in the Lord. In verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And then you can read the events at Lystra. So here they were at Antioch. They were persecuted, expelled out of their coasts. They came to Iconium. They preached the word of God there. They were mistreated there. Now they came to Lystra, and some events took place there. Now watch verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Now stop there for a minute. You think you've had it bad teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. Think about Paul. Paul didn't only have it bad. Paul didn't only have individuals who persecuted him where he was and expelled him out of their coast. But he had individuals who weren't content with that. They followed him. Think of that. They left their place. It wasn't good enough that this man who was proclaiming and teaching remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ was expelled out of their coast. They followed him. What did they do? They persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Well, I guess that was enough of Paul. He's seen his day. He's had enough. The text goes on to say, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now watch verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, I want you to think about this. He was stoned, They supposed that he'd been dead. He got up and he went to the next town and he preached the gospel there. But I guess as they are going to go back to Antioch, that they're going to kind of bypass where they ran into some problems. Not so. Because the next verse says, or the verse says, they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. They returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? What a gospel preacher. A man that would suffer so many things and then go right back to the cities in which he suffered those things, confirming the souls and exhorting them, the souls of the disciples, and encouraging them to be faithful. Well, preacher, why'd you spend time this evening talking about the events of Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra from Acts chapters 13 and 14? Because of a statement that bears directly on what we're talking about that Paul makes mention of in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Come to that text with me. Now that you got some background information on it, notice what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. He writes to Timothy and he says, "But you know fully my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions." Paul was persecuted, wasn't he? "You know about my persecutions, afflictions." Now watch this. "Which came unto me at Antioch," we read about it. "At Iconium," we read about it. "At Lystra," we read about it. "Of which persecutions I endured." You sure did, Brother Paul, because you went right back confirming, exhorting, encouraging the souls of the disciples after you had suffered such things. But now here's the kicker. You ready for it? "I endured them," Paul said. Now watch this. "But out of them all the Lord delivered me." That's the point I want you to see. Paul said, "Nevertheless, when all men forsook him, nevertheless the Lord stood with me and strengthened me and delivered me." And he did. We've got the divine inspired record that ought to encourage every one of us that to preach the gospel and to be faithful come what may. That encourages me. The Lord prayed in Matthew 6 and in verse 13 in the model prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." A lot of other verses in the New Testament. If you got that line in the back, you got many more references in what I've used. But I want to use one more as we think about deliverance. God is able. We've got God's divine record that He delivered individuals. And He's able to deliver us. You know, as you're taking your Bibles and you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 2. I can't help but to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused to bow down to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had reared up in the plain of Dura. And he gave them, as it were, another opportunity. Now, if you hear the music, you bow down and worship. They said, "Not so. Be it known unto you, therefore, King, that the God that we serve, He's able to deliver us from your hand, from the burning fiery furnace. But if He doesn't, we will not disobey Him," in essence, what they're saying. God's able to deliver us, but if He doesn't, we are resolved to be faithful unto Thee. Now there may be something that may come upon me that God sees fit not to deliver me physically from. But come what may, I better be resolved to be faithful unto God. To be faithful unto Him. If things are not right, if things are not well with us here, be rest assured they will be for all eternity. God's able. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, notice these words that the Apostle Peter is penning. He says, begin with verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but say no, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, and bringing in the flood upon the world the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them," that is, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, "an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Now, think about the things he's saying. He's talking about the angels that sinned not, or that sinned rather, and what he did with them. The example that is given to us in Sodom and Gomorrah as an example of those that would live ungodly. He talks about the deliverance of Noah. He saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. And he talks about delivering Lot, just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them. Be careful, by the way, where you pitch a tent. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. There's a lot of things come along with that. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with her unlawful deeds. Now watch this. If God is able to do that, save Noah, deliver just Lot, watch verse 9, relative to you and me, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I hope that we'll all be rest assured about that. But then Paul makes this statement, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. You know what the Bible talks about relative to being saved? There's a lot of references that talk about being saved. Someone says, well, preacher, I didn't read in that text that he's talking about being saved. That's King James Version, that he will preserve me. When you look that word up, it's the same word that over and over and over is used for being saved. The same word. God will save us unto the end. If we'll be faithful unto Him, that's what He's talking about. He's not talking about, by the way, that He's going to preserve an individual somehow against their will for all eternity. That's not what the text is talking about. Individuals believe that today, once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints, but that's not what the verse is talking about. The fact that God will save us to the end if we'll be faithful unto Him. And we have the assurance that God will save us from our past sins if we'll obey the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Some versions say such as were being saved, Acts chapter 2 and then verse 47. Saved from our past sins, but there's yet a salvation to come. And that is saved eternally when this earthly pilgrimage is over. Don't take my word for it. The Hebrew writer pins about that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. For them that look for Him, that shall He appear the second time without spot unto salvation. Unto salvation. That is eternal salvation, eternal life. That we are assured of, that God has promised to them that love Him. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. We're assured of that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And then in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'm thankful for the fact that God will save us eternally when the Lord comes. And so Paul says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Preserve me, save me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. One more point. And we read it from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 8. When Paul says, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me the last day. And not to me only, but unto all them who love His appearing. I want us to understand that the Lord will give me, Paul says. Paul said, as a result of my faithfulness, not that I've earned it, not that I deserve it, but I've obeyed. I've been faithful to the Lord, and as a result of that, the Lord is going to give me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. In Revelation 22:20, the Lord said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. Same statement is made basically in Matthew 16, verse 27. He'll reward when He returns every man according as his work shall be. Have you lived your life in such a way that if He were to come right now, you would receive, as Paul will, a crown of righteousness that the Lord has promised to them that love Him? Are you a child of God, living faithful according to His Word? You can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I hope that you can answer in the affirmative of that. That you're a child of God and you're being faithful to the Lord. And like Paul, you can echo these things. The Lord stood with me. He strengthened me. He delivered me. He'll preserve me, save me eternally. And He'll give me the crown of life that He's promised to the faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2. And then verse 10. Preacher, how do I become a Christian? By doing what the Bible says to become a Christian. I dare not add or take away or substitute for it. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. John 8:24, repenting of your sins. Luke 13:3, that means changing your mind about what you've been doing. And it's evident by the change of your lifestyle, by your life. Remember those words we read this morning? Amend your lives, one of the older versions of the Bible read. Without which we'll perish, Luke 13:3-5. I don't want to perish, do you? I want to go to heaven and I want you to go to heaven. I want us to all go to heaven. I want us to become children of God, stay children of God, and labor until all of God's saints get home. Then make that confession of your faith that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded at Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. The Lord will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Add you to the Church of Christ that you read about on the pages of the Bible. Acts 2:47. And you can leave tonight being rest assured that if the Lord comes or you die, that heaven will be your eternal home in the afterlife. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not been faithful. Not been living your life as you should, and you realize that and you want to come home. We want you to come home too. God wants you to come home. And He's made provision for you to come home. If you'll repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.